Welcome, friends, to Psalm Book 2. Chris Langham with you, and we are back for the second great collection of psalms in the Bible. 31 psalms here in Book 2, from 42 to 72, with 18 written by David. And once again, you have three guides as Melanie, Peyton, and I take turns here. Peyton's in the studio with me for the intro. So, Peyton, what's in store for us here in Book 2?
The second book of Psalms is a songbook of devotion. You know, there's nothing as timeless as a song that really means something in your life, one that reconnects you with convictions and renews the zeal of your commitments. It might be a song for country, for friendship, or, of course, the most popular, a love song. And if you've been in love, chances are you have one. My grandparents would get dreamy-eyed every time their favorite track from the Glenn Miller Orchestra came on. For my wife and I, it's Billy Joel's I Love You Just the Way You Are.
Ours is Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. It doesn't really say, I love you, but we were very young and very silly.
Interestingly enough, most love songs don't say, I love you over and over. Many don't say it at all. And that's because great songs express love with greater depth than those three simple words. Here in Psalm Book 2, the songs recorded are full of deep devotion to God. Many of them are maskils and mikdams, making up nearly half of Book 2. The closest translation we have for the word mikdam is precious, like a jewel, something special. When you hear that song in your life, it reminds you of commitments and convictions that you intend to never forget. The devotion is your own, but the song captures it powerfully. It adds fuel to the spark and keeps the fires burning.
And much like our cherished love songs, the Psalms in Book 2 provide some powerful ways to tell God, I love you, without those exact words. Psalm 42 opens the book with these words, As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you, my God. Now there's a picture that paints far more than a three-word gesture. Like a deer who's been running hard and needs water. That's how my soul yearns. The feelings here are not all warm fuzzies. Deers that pant like that are in pain. The psalmist writes in verse 6, My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. We'll see many times in Book 2, psalmists who are traumatized by all they've been through, but still worshiping, still waiting on the Lord. That waiting and that trust are expressions of love for God. Back in Psalm 42, the psalmist realizes there's nowhere else to go but to God only. The rest of the world is a dry and arid land, but he hears the distant voice of God's waterfalls and keeps pressing on. We all feel it at some point. Worshiping God through pain is a key part in this walk of faith through this world. And Psalm Book 2 won't let us forget it.
Now, they may not all seem like love songs, but listen closer. There are psalms that express a depth of love for God in a variety of ways. Psalm 56 is an exhausted plea to God for mercy from constant enemy attack. But I trust you, God, and you collect my tears. Psalm 51, I'm blowing at God, and I'm desperate for forgiveness. Psalm 55, I've been betrayed and hurt terribly. I'm confused, but I trust you, God. Or Psalm 64, I'm angry about injustice and wish to make a complaint. And Psalm 60, I'm feeling rejected by you right now, God. Psalm 70, I'm feeling poor, needy, and I need you. Then, in 71, I'm committed to you. All of these are the sort of things you say at one time or another to someone you love. And with David, we can say, I'm still here. I'm still waiting. I'm still worshiping, still trusting, because I still love you.
Something that stands out from the very first verse in this collection is the engagement of the soul. 37 times, the second book of Psalms uses the word soul to express the inner turmoil and deep inner connection with God. At times, the soul is overwhelmed, inundated by floodwater, or hunted by lions. But that same soul longs for God, pants for God. In 49, God redeems my soul. In 57, my soul trusts in you. 62, my soul waits upon God. And in 63, my soul follows hard after you. These psalms are meant to engage our souls, and music does that so powerfully. It bypasses the mind and connects to the soul.
Now, Book 2 opens with a series of psalms by the sons of Korah. We don't know with certainty which Korah this is. The only Korah of note in the Bible is the infamous Korah of Numbers 16, who rebelled and was swallowed up by the earth. Yet Numbers 26 tells us that some of his descendants survived, and if this is them, they bear a legacy of rebellion turned to redemption. They turned back to God after tragedy. Is this them? Hard to say for sure, but it does appear this is a group of Levite temple singers, like a guild, who led God's people in song even when times were bad, through times of suffering. Today, we call the sons of Korah worship leaders.
Now, worship leaders play a fascinating role in our lives. They lead us in praise, and they do so with joy. But if you listen a little closer to a room full of people worshiping, you'll hear pain mingled with that praise. I'm talking about real praise that doesn't mask pain, but opens it. The deep personal pain and brokenness that gets buried in the heart is brought out by worship and given to God. Worship rises as tears fall. Looking over the crowd, some people are hurting. Some are barely holding on. Some are blowing it, but they're still here. They're here because they love God. When you're in love, brokenness and healing come with the territory.
And yet, the greatest theme in Psalms Book 2 is that God loves us. The main focus isn't on our love for God, but God's love for and to us. We may not always feel it and may need to remind ourselves of it from time to time, but God loves us, and these songs can refocus us on God's unfailing love, despite our ups and downs and our emotions being all over the place. Book 2 gives us a picture of those ups and downs. Starting with psalms focused on God and the pursuit of Him, we come out the gate strong with high praise, high trust, high expectations. But like life, we dip sometimes into our despair. The struggle gets on top of us. We start to feel like we're going underwater, treading, drowning one minute, taking a desperate gulp of air the next. There are times the psalmist feels it might be his last breath, but then there's a great intake and the bellowing out of praise at the end. Just like life, peaks, valleys, peaks again. Psalm Book 2 ends with high messianic worship, glimpses of a king who's coming, who will make everything right. Remember, for the psalmist, that was faith. Faith that the God who loved them would keep His promises because He loved them. So, are you hanging on? Let Psalms Book 2 give you hope and rekindle your love for God as you say, "I'm still here, God, because I love you and you love me." Bring all your cares, anxieties, hopes, and fears to Him, knowing that He cares for you. And may some of these songs be your songs, your special miktims, your jewels that you play from time to time to remind yourself of why you fell in love with God in the first place, not just one time, but over and over, through the good times and the bad. It's part of the journey.
Now remember as you read our five keys to reading the Psalms. Respect the genre. This is poetry. Respect the poet. Let them be human and they'll help with your humanity. Respect the poet's feelings. Let them feel theirs, and they'll help you process yours. Respect the poet's process. They often don't end where they begin. And read the Psalms musically. Feel the emotion before you break down the lyrics. And remember, if you get knocked down, just get back up again. And we'll see you on the journey through Psalms Book 2.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.